All right, welcome back again. My name is Steve Elzinga. We're in the pre-marriage coaching class, and we're looking at the seven connections that a couple has. And in this session, we're going to see how couples are connected spiritually speaking. Our spirituality in our marriage is reflected in creation, Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So in some ways, we fulfill that image of God in with two of us. It takes two to sort of reflect the image of God. And remember, God is a triune God. Three in one, and husband and wife are reflected in the two in one. That's Genesis 2:24. A man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. The Trinity is the mystery of the three in one. Marriage is the mystery of the two in one. So this desire that a couple has of coming together, getting engaged, getting married, forming a family, is part of the image of God at work in them. And the mystery of the Trinity, how in the world can three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how can three separate persons be one God? Well, it's a mystery. Their connection is so close that their separateness is overcome by their oneness. And the same mystery now is being reflected in a man and a woman. How is it that we become one? Well, we're not sure. It's a mystery. It's a mystery of being so close. And it's a mystery rooted in who God is. Our spirituality in our marriage is reflected in Christ and his church. Ephesians 5:21 starts out this way. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. He's talking about a man and a woman. Notice that Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians, begins his discussion of marriage saying that husbands and wives need to submit to one another. This is not one submitting to one. It's both submitting to one another. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. The wife submits to the husband like the church submits to Christ. Some see this as submission, as respect, a respect issue, that the wife needs to respect the husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 2. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So the husband submits to the wife as Christ loves the church and was willing to die for the church. Some see the husband's submission as love. The wife wants love, and a lot of times a husband wants respect. So the wife submits with respect. The husband submits with love. The wife submits with respect. And they're both versions of love. They're both versions of subjecting yourself to one another. We're made differently. So women want love. Men want respect. The husband submits with love. Okay. Our spirituality is also reflected in marriage, is reflected in our habits of relationship. So it's reflected in creation. It's reflected in Christ and His church. And marriage is also reflected in relationship habits. The basic habit of any relationship is, and you should know these things if you've taken the connection class already, talking, listening, repeatedly. If you want to get to know anyone, if you want a relationship with anyone, it takes talking, listening, and you have to do it many times, repeatedly, over and over again. That's how you have a relationship with your parents, your friends, people at school, people at work, people at church, and it's certainly true of a relationship of two people that want to get married. It takes talking, listening, repeatedly. A husband and wife need to have habits of talking and listening to each other, i.e. date nights, meals together, evening walks, text messages, emails, phone conversations. If a couple wants a meaningful relationship, then they need time repeatedly, okay, talking and listening. And they need habits in their lives. A lot of relationships fail because people don't have habits. That their talking and listening opportunities are haphazard. They don't have standard times that they meet together to make sure it happens. That's what church is all about, for example. Church, why do we have church once a week? Well, we can have it every other week. We can have it once a month. But we need this habit of one day in seven to stop everything we're doing and say, what are we doing? Let's reflect on who we are and what it's all about. Let's reflect on what's important. Let's reflect on our relationship to God, our relationship to our family and the people that we care about. Let's get our marching orders. We go to church. We give praise. We give thanks. We get encouraged by the Word. And we do it every week. And the people that don't do it every week, you know, that they're haphazard and then they stop coming altogether. It's habits that keep us going forward. Husbands and wives not only need connection habits in their relationship to each other, but they also need connection habits in their relationship to God. Habits of prayer. So that's, you know, we call talking to God, we call that prayer. We call listening to God Bible reading. And we talk about repeatedly with the word devotions. Devotions is talking and listening to God repeatedly. And out of that, a relationship is formed. Now, often each one in a marriage has their own personal devotions. Like I get up in the morning, I do my devotions. My wife gets up in the morning, she does her devotions. A time of talking and listening to God. But if a couple wants a marriage connection to God, they need to have habits of talking and listening to God together. Now, that might be a new thing for the couple that you're trying to coach. Maybe they have their own devotional life. If they don't, they need to get one. If they have a devotional life that they do separately and they're engaged, they're not living together, so it's probably likely that that's the situation. How do they start moving towards doing devotions together? Reading the Bible, praying together. It doesn't have to be some big elaborate thing, but there's an old saying, a couple that prays together stays together. So how do we get that habit in their life? Genesis 3. This is how sin, the story of how sin comes into the world. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" All right, questions. These are two questions, and I want each, you know, they have their book, and I want them to answer these questions separately. Number one, what two things did the man and the woman hide from? So we just read this passage. You'd read this passage to the couple that you're coaching. Okay, as you've listened, now, in this passage, what two things did the man and woman hide from? Verse 7 and verse 8. In verse 7, if you go back and look at it, you'll discover that they hid from each other. Sin comes into the world. They can no longer face each other in their imperfection, in their nakedness. There's something wrong with me. You're noticing something. I'm insecure about it. Okay, there was a brokenness element that came in the relationship between the man and the woman. That's what sin does. It makes you hide. It makes you distrustful of others. And then verse 8, God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and where is the man and the woman? They're hiding. So they had to hide from each other in their nakedness, and now when God comes around, they're hiding from God. See, that's what sin does. It makes us hide. It breaks our relationship to God, and it breaks our relationship to the people around us. And we end up hiding from God when He comes around, and we end up hiding from each other. We guard our lives. We're not vulnerable. We're not open. So, question. In what ways does the average couple hide from each other? So this is just a general question that I want each one to answer. What ways do you think couples hide from one another? Well, they spend money, don't tell the other. They flirted with somebody of the opposite sex at work and they don't tell someone. They're on the internet looking at sites they shouldn't be on. They're going through struggles and they don't share with their spouse. All the different ways that husbands and wives hide from one another. In what ways do you hide from your fiancé? So it's easier to talk about other couples. So you're getting them started and they're thinking about other couples and what they do. But now, okay, so in what ways do you hide from God? In what ways does the average couple hide from God? Okay, what ways do you hide from your fiancé, but what ways do you hide from God, and what ways do you personally hide from God? So you have each one of them do that, and then they'll look at their answers together. What walls get in the way of spiritual connection habits? Which wall gets in your way? So again, in a broad general way, and then zeroing on that person. So here's some walls for them to think about. What walls get in your way of getting connecting habits with your potential spouse, getting into connecting habits with God, getting a prayer life, getting a devotional life, doing devotions together as a couple, praying together, reading the Bible together, going to church together, studying the Bible together, taking CLI courses together, all these things that help a couple grow spiritually. What is keeping you from doing that? What are the walls that get in the way? Procrastination. Okay, maybe you or you know, one of the couples, the guy or the gal is struggling with procrastination. They wanna start praying together, but they just don't do it. Or the wall of a critical attitude. The way you want to study the Bible is not the way I want to study the Bible. You want to go in deep. I want to be shallow, or vice versa. Or there's the wall of no discipline. We start things, but we never finish. The wall of fear of vulnerability. When we pray together, it's too vulnerable. We're sharing our intimate thoughts. And it's weird. You know, husbands and wives can be married. They can have a sexual relationship in the bedroom, which is very intimate. But they can feel like it's even more intimate when they pray together. I mean, if you've never prayed with your spouse, try it. Go home tonight and say, honey, you know, I watched this thing and the guy suggested we sit down and pray. All right, so let's do it. And see how awkward it is if you don't have the practice of doing that. The wall of the fear of facing the truth. You know, when you start walking with God and you invite God to sit at a table, all of a sudden you share more deeply than you would otherwise. It's very interesting. Husbands and wives that sit down and they invite God to sit there. You know, I can be fighting with my wife about things, and you know, I'm a lawyer type person, and I'm arguing, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to get my way, and then all of a sudden now we're going to pray about it. Okay, while we're praying, I can't be pushing. I can't be like winning an argument, because I know that God, the one who knows everything about me, He knows my motives, is sitting right there. All of a sudden, I'm feeling a little more intimidated that maybe I should look at some of my own issues rather than blame my wife for everything. You know, in a conversation, I might just freely blame her. Oh, it's your fault. And if you just change, things would improve. But with God sitting right there, and He knows the truth, and I know that He knows the truth, it's going to be very difficult for me to point the finger over here when I know there's probably things that I need to work on. So people become way more responsible, way more willing to take on, you know, some of the blame for things themselves, and way more gracious to the other person. The wall of unteachable attitude. We don't want to be taught. We don't want to have an intimate relationship with someone who you know, we're going to start talking about our behaviors and how well we get along. Wall of past relational hurt. I'm not as willing to go. Some couples are not willing to go that deep in a relationship because they've been burned in the past. They keep everything at the surface. They don't tell the spouse things. There's plenty of married couples who don't go in deep with their deepest thoughts, their fears, their hopes, their dreams, their disappointments, their frustrations. They keep them to themselves, and they never really get to know each other. And it's in this spiritual dimension that some of this, you know, can be talked about and dealt with. The wall of fear of what people think of you. Okay, so the wall of unbelief. There's all kinds of walls. The walls of laziness, the wall of distraction, the wall of other priorities. We don't have time to go to church. We don't have time for a Bible study. We don't have time to pray for one another. We got other things that we're doing. We'll get back to it. One day when we have time, we'll get to this thing. And these are all just walls. They're just things that keep us apart from one another. It's that original sin. We're hiding from each other in our nakedness. We don't want to face our brokenness. And when God comes around, we want to hide in the bushes from Him too. See, we need to come out from outside those walls. The wall of past failure. Maybe the one couple was married before and it ended in failure. And so how are we going to deal with this? The wall of, and you can come up with whatever walls sort of stand in the way of a relationship. Okay, so those are things that you're looking at, each one individually is, you know, looking at these things, writing things down, and now you come together to talk about this stuff. So questions together. Think for a moment of how close each of you are to God, okay? Mark an X on your line in the diagram. Draw a line between the two X's. That's the distance between you and your spouse. You can see that the closer you both are to God, the less distance you will have to overcome in your relationship to each other. So here's the diagram I'm talking about. It's all in the book. But in the diagram, you see God at the top, and then you see husband and wife. So the husband, you know, puts an X on that line. You know, if he puts an X really high, then he's saying, I'm really close to God. If he puts an X really low, then he's saying he's kind of distant from God. And then the wife on the other side does the same thing. If she puts an X closer to God, then she's saying, I'm really close to God. If she puts an X way down, then she's not close to God. So let's say the husband puts an X, you know, he's not that close to God. He puts it towards the bottom. The wife isn't that close to God, puts that X closer to the bottom. And then you draw a line between the two X's. And you can see, if they both put it on the bottom, that line between the two is really long. And the point here is, the closer you both are to God, the closer you, the more potential you have to be closer to each other. The distance between the two of you is smaller when you're both close to God. If one is close to God and one isn't, you still see that there's that distance. So you both have to have a close relationship to God. And if you both have a close relationship to God, then the distance between you is smaller. God is the key to making that distance between two people. Remember, sin makes us hide from one another. Grace is what takes us out of the hiding. You know, God sent His Son to die for us. You know, God didn't leave Adam and Eve hiding from Him. He came and said, "Where are you?" He went and found them. That's what God's grace does. God's grace takes the man and the woman. We don't have to hide from one another. We can face each other. The brokenness can be made into wholeness. Number two, what walls keep you both from these spiritual connection habits? What are the things that are holding you back from having a real spiritual connection with this person? Now, they're dating, they're not married, they're not living in the same house, hopefully. What experiences do they have right now? They can already start working on becoming one spiritually. They start working on habits of sharing the Bible, working on habits of actually praying together, going to church together, going to Bible studies together, involved in kingdom activities together, so that, you know, the closer they get to God, the closer that they get to one another. Number three, what spiritual connection habits can you commit to in your relationship? So as you're working with this couple, you're trying to get them, what things will you commit to? At least once a week, sitting down with the Bible open and looking at it and discussing it. You know, prayer. How many times together are we going to pray this week? Every time we meet, once a week, once a month, I don't know. Most couples do absolutely nothing. So whatever you can get a couple to agree to, and now you can hold them accountable to do it, you want to start getting those habits going even before they're married. Each of you are asked to form your own prayer using ACTS, A-C-T-S, prayer guide. If this is a retreat setting, this is what I've done in retreat settings. I ask a couple to do this, to write out their prayers, and I'll show you what this ACTS thing is. And then at the end of the retreat, we do communion together, and I have each couple do the communion for the other. So the one couple, you know, gives the bread and gives the wine to the other, person of a couple. So the man first, you know, "I'm going to give you my potential spouse the wine and the bread," and she does the same. But in that little mini ceremony together, I'm going to have them pray for each other using this ACTS formula. Works really, really well. But this is the ACTS formula. A stands for adoration, so I praise you, God, for. And now the couple writes things down that they want to praise God for. Confession, I confess. I confess that, you know, I have not pursued habits in the spiritual world. I confess that I haven't been a very good listener. I confess. So you get the couple to say, you know, things that they're sorry about. Thanksgiving, I give thanks for, you know, the gifts and the abilities that I see in this person. Supplication, I ask God that He would bless us, that He would show us the way, that He would, you know, whatever the needs are. So these are the four areas. And you get the couples to write lists, write things down. And then if this is a retreat, at the communion time, you can have them actually pray these things to each other. It works really, really, really well. Okay, so at the end of this session, where we're talking about spirituality, again, we can close in prayer. So a husband or, you know, potential husband and wife, hold hands and all pray together. Dear God, I need your grace to love you and my wife or my future wife more. Wife or future wife, dear God, I need your grace to love you and my future husband more. Both together, help us both to know you more. Both, help us both commit ourselves to you and each other. Both, help us both to experience more of your grace and power in our lives. The future husband, help me, Lord, to put practices and habits in my life that draw me closer to you and my future wife. Future wife responds, help me, Lord, to put practices and habits in my life that draw me closer to you and my future husband. And finally, both, in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And again, we're trying to, you know, every session we're trying to help them open their mouths and get used to praying with each other. Because again, a couple that prays together stays together.